would please, to Luke chapter 19. We're going to read one verse. Luke 19 and verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I want to preach this morning a message entitled, The Mission of the Son of Man. Now the context of this verse comes right after Jesus had saved Zacchaeus. You all know Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for to see what he could see. And I remember Harry Ballmer's grandson at Bible school, his interpretation of Zacchaeus. He came out of the Sunday school, or the Bible school class. Somebody said, What'd you learn about Zacchaeus? What'd you learn in Bible school today? He said, the teacher said, you better start paying attention to Jesus, because Zacchaeus was up in a tree, and he said to him, if you don't come down right now, I'm going to slap you down. And he comes scurrying down that tree. Now, that wasn't exactly how it happened, but Zacchaeus, the Lord went right to the sycamore tree, right where Zacchaeus was. He knew Zacchaeus' name before they had ever been formally introduced, because the Father had given him Zacchaeus before the world began in the covenant of grace. He went right to where he was. He said, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And the effectual call of Zacchaeus, he came down. He received the Lord. His life was transformed. That's amazing to me, because Zacchaeus was a notorious sinner. He was a publican and a tax collector. And I mean, they're a hated people. And they were deceitful. He was deceitful. He stole from people. And the Lord saved him and changed his life miraculously. Well, after that event had taken place, Jesus declares why he came from heaven to earth. The eternally begotten Son of God declares himself to be the Son of Man on a mission to seek and to save that which was lost. As I was studying this, it amazed me that the one who wears the titles, who is identified in Scripture as the Most High God, the Prince of Peace, the Just One, the Holy One of Israel, the Alpha and the Omega, the Righteous Branch, the Son of God, would refer to himself as the Son of Man. When Jesus announced the purpose of his coming into the world, he chose a title expressing his humanity. Does it not amaze you that the second person of the Holy Trinity delighted in becoming a man for the glorious purpose of saving your unworthy soul? The Bible says in Proverbs 8, where Christ is expressed as eternal wisdom, united to His Father by eternal equality. The Scripture says this, Jesus said this, "Then was I by Him as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, declaring His equality and His eternality with the Father. He is the eternally begotten Son of God." But in the very next verse, it speaks of His incarnation, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. That's striking to me. That God became flesh and delighted in identifying with us in order to save us, in order to redeem us. It's expressed again in Hebrews 2 and verse 10, "For it became Him," Christ, "for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Verse 14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." Verse 17, "Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, and to make reconciliation for the sins of His people." Eternally begotten as the Son of God, He became a man in a most unique way. And He did that for the express purpose of saving sinners like you and me. Now, my first point today is the mission of salvation that is stated in our text. It says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." The Son of Man is come. Now, the word mission means a specific task that a person is sent to perform. When Jesus came to earth, when He became a man, when He obeyed the law and suffered on the cross and rose again, all of that signified a mission that He was on. He was performing a specific task that was assigned to Him by His Holy Father before the world began in the decrees of God. So Christ's mission to save was according to a detailed plan. He didn't come here by accident. He came to earth knowing exactly what the Father's eternal plan was. "Known unto God are all His works from the foundation of the world." Every aspect of the incarnation, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, every bit of that was precisely detailed in the decrees of God. Nothing happens by accident. God works all things after the counsel of His own will. And every aspect of the salvation of God's elect was according to God's eternal plan in the covenant of grace. Christ was the appointed Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and the Father gave Him a people to redeem. And He came on a mission of salvation and grace. Christ's mission to save was according to a divine purpose. Christ's purpose is clearly stated the very first page of the New Testament. Look over at Matthew chapter 1. This is Christ's redemptive purpose. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The mission of salvation centers around the finished work of Jesus Christ. His name will be called Jesus, for he shall save his people, the ones that the Father had given him before the world began. They already belong to him. And he came to save them from their sins. Verse 22. Now all this was done. Notice. Divine purpose. Divine plan. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Christ's purpose in coming is to save all that the Father gave him in the covenant of grace. And that's why Jesus said with such confidence in John 6, I quote these verses often. Jesus said, All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. You see, Jesus Christ came on purpose, according to a divine plan. And it's why he knew for a fact that he was going to save people from their sins. It was a definite redemptive fact that everyone that the Father gave him, he was going to die for. He was going to bear their sins in his body on that tree of cursing. He was going to take those sins away, putting them away forever. And he was going to be buried and then raised again from the dead. And all of that was according to divine purpose. It's why Jesus said, And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. You see, the mission of salvation is one that is absolutely precise. Christ knew the plan, the purpose, and the people regarding salvation. And his mission of salvation was executed to perfection. I believe with all my heart that the life, the death, the finished work of Jesus Christ was an absolute perfect success. Now, the missions of men may fail miserably oftentimes due to poor planning, lack of power, lack of resources, sin, pride, so on. But I'm here to tell you that when Jesus Christ came and he declared that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He fulfilled that to perfection. Not one that the Father gave him would be lost. He was going to save a multitude, not just among the Jews, but throughout the whole world, out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. Jesus Christ was going to save sinners throughout the whole world. The mission of Christ to save His people actually accomplished God's desired end. And you cannot thwart God's plan. You can't thwart. You can't turn back. None can stay His hand or say unto Him, "What doest thou?" Christ's purpose has been clearly stated. His work was not one of failure or frustration. If Christ died in your stead, if He died in your place, if He bore your sins in His body, if He shed His blood for you, I can guarantee you that you will be redeemed. The Father's wrath has been propitiated and appeased. You will be reconciled to God because He died the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. If you die in your sins and go to hell, it means that you still have your sins. They're still on you. They will remain with you throughout all eternity. And that will be the reason why you will suffer in the lake of fire the torments of the infinite and just wrath of Almighty God. Because you still have your sins. Jesus died for my sins. And He put them away. And that was revealed to me the day that He saved me by His grace. The work was already finished. The mission of Christ to save His people actually accomplished God's desired end. That's why I don't believe for a minute that Jesus shed His blood in vain. I don't believe for a minute that Jesus died for Pontius Pilate. He didn't bear his sins. Pontius Pilate is still bearing the weight of his sins today in hell as he awaits the great white throne of judgment. Jesus Christ did not die for Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot was never saved. He betrayed the Lord. Jesus said he was a devil from the very beginning. Christ didn't die for Judas Iscariot. If Jesus had died for Judas Iscariot, Judas would have been saved. He would have been forgiven. He would have been redeemed. But he's in hell right now. He went to his own place. How do I know this? Because of what the Bible says. Here's what the Bible says about the finished work of Christ. Hebrews 10 and verse 12, "For this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified," them set apart in the covenant of grace, set apart by the blood of Jesus Christ, set apart by the power of the Holy Spirit in regeneration and sanctification. That work is a complete success. God's will cannot be thwarted or turned back by men or devils. That's why Christ could pray with such confidence. Look at John chapter 17 in verse 23. Jesus says, "I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. He prayed as if this was an accomplished fact, that all that the Father had given him, all that he was interceding for, would be with him throughout all eternity. The mission of Christ to save is actually accomplished. Secondly, the man of salvation. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The mission of salvation required a dedicated person, uniquely qualified, who was determined to succeed and fulfill all the terms, all the obligations that he had been assigned by the Father. You can't be wrong about this and go to heaven. There is only one person in the entire universe who could carry out the mission of salvation, and that is Jesus Christ. Let me state this as clearly as I possibly can. No mere man, preacher, pope, religious leader, no system of work salvation, no denomination, no church can save you. There's only one person qualified to save sinners, and that's Jesus Christ. Muhammad can't save you. He was a depraved pervert. He was ungodly. The founder of Islam. He can't save people. He can't take them to heaven. Jesus Christ is the only one. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Only one person's qualified to save, and it's Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, without apology. He did not equivocate whatsoever. He said plainly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There is no other man of salvation. If you're trusting in yourself, if you're trusting in your church, if you're trusting in your preacher or your pope or your priest, you're going to hell. You're going to die in your sins. If you're trusting in your baptism, if you're trusting in anything other than the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are going to die in your sins, and the weight of your sins is going to plunge you into the lake of fire throughout all eternity. There's only one man of salvation. And if you're trusting in any other, and listen, don't deceive yourself. Don't think God's going to make some special exemption for you because, oh, you're such a good person. You're so nice and so charitable and wonderful, and surely God will look at me and He'll look at all my good deeds and all my good works. And you know what He'll say? What He said in Isaiah chapter 64, that your works of righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And I'm not going to go into detail what those rags signified, but they were bloody and filled with infection. the very best you've got that you can present to God, he says, is nothing more than filthy, rotten rags. There's only one way of salvation. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. You know, people try to find novel ways to present the gospel, to try to get people to understand it. And I'm here to tell you, only God can give you that understanding. Only God can open up your eyes, your heart, your mind. And when He does, it's not like a bolt of lightning hits you in the head. He just brings you to the realization that you can't save yourself. And you trust completely in what Jesus did for sinners. Christ Jesus is the eternally begotten Son of God, equal with the Father and the Spirit. In fact, Jesus declared in John 14:9, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Colossians 2:9 says, for in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God became man. Jesus Christ is unique in his humanity. He's not only God, but he is God in the flesh. He is the only person in the Holy Trinity who literally and fully identified with those he came to save. He became a full-fledged human being. And this qualified him to be a successful mediator between God and man. He was uniquely conceived in the virgin womb of Mary by the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't believe that Christ was virgin born, you can't be saved. If you believe he's just a man with sin like any other man, you can't be saved. You need a sinless Savior. You need one who was able to present himself without spot to God in order to satisfy all the demands of justice. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah 7 in verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. That Old Testament prophecy was affirmed and confirmed by New Testament writings. Christ's humanity was not produced by natural generation like we are, or by special creation like Adam. His humanity was produced by the agency of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says this in Luke 1:35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. He was born of a virgin. He was conceived in the womb of Mary by the Holy Spirit of God. He was made of a woman, made under the law. He is holy and perfect in birth and life. And he offered himself a perfect sacrifice. His humanity was real. He was physically born. He passed through the birth canal. His umbilical cord was cut. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. He grew in stature and in wisdom. In his humanity, he hungered, he ate, he slept, he worked in the carpenter shop with his earthly father, Joseph. He was a perfect man. He did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. And the mission of the Son of Man to save involved absolute obedience on His part and a perfect offering. The man of salvation had to humble himself. It amazes me what Christ was willing to go through in order to save somebody like me. I don't know the depths of my own depravity, but God's been pleased to show me what a great sinner I am. I'll never cease to be amazed that Jesus Christ was willing to take every foul sin, every wicked deed, every blasphemous word that I ever uttered. He was willing to take the punishment for all my sins. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The man of salvation lived a perfect life. And for no sin of his own, he willingly and voluntarily laid down his life for sinners like me and you. There's not a greater message in all the world than the one that says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And in order to bring that about, the most wonderful, loving, gracious, holy person in all of history humbled himself and walked among men and obeyed every precept of the law inwardly and outwardly. And then with that perfect life, with his merits, his obedience, he went to the cross. He laid his life down. He bore our sins in his body. He willingly made himself a sacrifice, offering up his blood, his merits, his obedience. He died for me. A greater message could never be told than that Jesus Christ came to save sinners who were lost. And then lastly, the men of salvation. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ didn't come to save anyone who thinks they can save themselves without Him. If you're of that number, if you've deceived yourself somehow into thinking that your goodness, your religion, your works, your performances are enough to get you into heaven. Jesus Christ did not come to save you. Your unbelief in Him, your failure to believe the record that God gave of His Son, that in Him there is life, and they that believe on the Son of God hath life. They that believe not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. If you don't believe you're lost, you can't be saved. Say, well, preacher, I do believe I'm lost. I do believe I'm broken. I understand today. I understand. I've taken my place as a sinner, a lawbreaker, undone. Well, I pray today that God will open your heart and open your eyes to see that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Christ came to save those who acknowledge that they are lost, those who have come to an end of themselves. They acknowledge that they have nothing to merit God's favor. They're like the publican in Luke chapter 18. You read that passage, the Pharisee said, oh, I sure am glad that I ain't like this stinking rotten publican. I fast, I do everything. This guy, there ain't no way he's going to heaven. He's a wretched. Look, he stinks. I'm glad I'm not like him. That's the Pharisee. You know, there's a lot of religious people just like the Pharisee that are going to hell. You know what the publican said? He wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. He just said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Christ came to save his sheep that are lost, undone, and he knows where every one of them are. And in sovereign grace, he seeks them and calls them out. This is his mission. I'll never forget the day that he called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's the greatest thing that could ever happen to you, as if today would be the day of salvation. And today you'd simply say, nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling, O Lamb of God, I come. I'm not trusting in myself, in my works. I'm trusting in what Jesus did for sinners. And I believe that he died for my sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again for me. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I pray today that the mission of the Son of Man becomes a reality in your heart and in your life, and that you ask that question, like the Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? The answer is so direct. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Let's all stand.